Austin, let's start with this pact. Governor Jay Inslee announced he's joining the governors of Oregon and California to coordinate the eventual reopening of the economy in the region. Does this mean we know more about when this could happen?
Well, Kirsten, we know that the governor's current stay-home order expires on May 4th, but he is not committing one way or another to what happens after that date. There is certainly the possibility that the stay-home order could be extended. It's also possible that May 4th could be the beginning of a sequential unlocking of the economy. We just don't know at this point. What we do know is that this West Coast Partnership, or PACT, as the governors are calling it, is very focused on testing capacity. Because here's the thing. We are in mitigation mode right now, and governors are using what Governor Inslee here has described as blunt instruments, like ordering people to stay home, closing down the economy. If we want to get back to containment mode, then public health officials need to have a strong surveillance system that allows them to identify flare-ups of this virus and contain those flare-ups. So that's about testing, it's about robust contact tracing, it's about isolation and quarantine. And if that's not in place, that could be the biggest barrier to backing off some of these restrictions. So I think the three states are looking at this and saying, how can they use their purchasing power, their coordination, to try to get something in place that would create the environment where you can start to unlock the economy?
Well, sticking with the coronavirus response here in Washington, let's turn to prisons. Governor Inslee has also announced a plan to release nearly 1,000 inmates to create more space after that COVID-19 outbreak at the prison in Monroe that we talked live with you about last week. How are people reacting to this news?
Well, nobody seems happy. Columbia Legal Services, which filed an emergency petition last week with the Supreme Court following that disturbance at Monroe, says this early release plan doesn't go nearly far enough. For context, Inslee is proposing to reduce the prison population by about just 6%. Meanwhile, on the right, State Senator Mike Patton, who's the ranking Republican on the Law and Justice Committee, in a statement last night called early release the most extreme option, and he says it runs the potential of increasing the risk to the public, not only by potentially increasing crime, but also potentially by increasing the spread of COVID-19. He seems to question whether some of these inmates who are being released would comply, for instance, with the stay-home order. Generally, the idea here is to allow for more social distancing in prisons, but it's not clear yet how quickly they can do this or, frankly, how much extra elbow room they can buy by letting 950 inmates, it's really up to 950 inmates, out of a prison system that's holding today more than 16,000 and is overcrowded. By the way, the governor's office says the focus will be on individuals who are in prison for nonviolent crimes, drug or alcohol-related offenses, as well as people held on violations for their terms of supervision. And they'll be doing this through commutation or through the graduated reentry program, which helps people step down out of prison.
All right. So besides the pandemic response, Austin, we also now have a new state Supreme Court justice. And you interviewed Pierce County Judge Helen Whitener in the fall. What can you tell us about how she thinks about the justice system?
Well, this is a historic appointment. Judge Whitener will be the first Black woman to serve on Washington's Supreme Court. Let that settle in for a moment. We've had statehood since 1889. So the first Black woman and only the second Black justice in history, in state history. She also will become only the second openly gay justice, and she is an immigrant, and she also has a disability. So she says that she really comes to this with a lot of perspectives and the ability, she says, to relate to people who come into the courtroom or the courthouse. She talks about what she calls a gavel gap, and that is the gap in the number of women and people of color serving as judges in the United States and in Washington. And she says the judiciary does not reflect the communities it serves, and that, she says, undermines a core canon of the judiciary, which is trust and confidence. So to try to rebuild trust and confidence and to build a more diverse judiciary, she's been very involved in efforts to introduce young people, especially girls from marginalized communities, to the legal profession. She co-chairs the Washington State Minority and Justice Commission. Last year, she received the Excellence in Diversity and Inclusion Award from the Washington State Bar Association. And, Kirsten, I should note that her appointment comes just months after another historic appointment to the court, and that was Justice Raquel Montoya Lewis becoming the first Native American justice in Washington.
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.